If you're looking for work and you're willing to move, head west. Joining me with an eye on the map is Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Dave.
Frank, where are we going?
Salt Lake City, Utah, absolutely. Every year, in fact, every day of every year, we ask Americans who are working, is your company hiring people or is it firing people and letting them go, or is there no change in employment? And based on that, we compute a job creation index. And so this is from the ground up, Dave. These are workers telling us whether their companies are hiring or firing. And Salt Lake City is the number one major metropolitan area in the nation when we ranked them from all of last year, where workers are more likely to tell us than anywhere else that their companies are hiring and less likely to tell us that their companies are firing.
Now, does it span the range from, say, fast food restaurants all the way up to very well-paying jobs?
That's the beauty of the question, because we don't differentiate. If you're working at McDonald's or you're working at one of the big hedge funds in New York City, it doesn't matter. If we get you on the phone, we say, is the place where you work hiring or firing or not letting or not changing? And we think it gives us a different perspective on employment, because most people at their companies, even big companies, kind of have a good sense whether or not their companies are growing or shrinking.
Is Salt Lake City newly ranked, or has it been around number one for a while?
It's been number one for quite a while. The big change we have seen, however, in these rankings comes from the oil industry. Houston used to be up there near the top, where I used to live, I should say, but this year it's near the bottom. This is for 2016, because the oil industry plateaued. Now, that may be changing now, but from the oil and gas boom and all that, all of a sudden we found that workers in Houston, the Houston metropolitan area, last year were near the bottom of the 50 biggest metropolitan areas in terms of telling us what their companies were doing. So you could probably still move to Houston because it may be recovering, but at least 2016 wasn't a good year to be employed in the Houston area.
So let's bring our region into the mix.
Philadelphia, we interviewed, this is interesting, 6,771 workers last year in the greater Philadelphia area. Dave, quite a big sample of workers in our area. And here's the exact numbers. 45% of all workers that we interviewed last year in the Philadelphia area said that their companies were hiring, which is good news. And only 11% said that their companies were firing, and 38% said there had been no change. So that's still a positive picture. But when you put it in the top 50, Philadelphia ranks 32nd, which is below average. 25 would be the average. So comparatively, Philadelphia is, yeah, let's just say kind of in the middle, not booming, but neither at the bottom of the list either.
So depending on the quality and compensation of the job, that determines whether one considers oneself to be in low, mid, or upper class.
That's right. It's called subjective social class. And we actually give people a Gallup five different classes to choose from: lower, working, middle, upper middle, or upper. And we say, all right, what class are you? Overall, that most Americans tend to congregate in the two middle ones, working and middle class, with middle class being more prevalent than working. But what we've just done, a colleague and I went through and we analyzed these by income level. If you're listening right now and making more than $100,000 a year household income, you're starting to be more likely to consider yourself upper middle class rather than middle class. 34% of those between $100,000 and $150,000 a year say that they're upper middle. And then if you get to those making $150,000 to $250,000, we've got over half of Americans who will say upper middle class, 53%. Very few will say upper. And even when we go all the way up to $250,000 a year, you're fairly likely to say upper middle, about half. And we get about a third of you out there making $250,000 a year or more who are willing to say upper. In fact, even when we get these few people that make $500,000 a year or more, and we don't have many in our sample, but we have some, it's just about a half who will use the word upper class.
Frank, is there a historical reticence to own the descriptives upper middle or upper?
Yes. As long as we've been tracking it, we haven't found a lot of Americans who are particularly willing to go into upper. But I should say that at the other end of the spectrum, a few Americans on a relative basis like to use the word lower class either. Our lowest income grouping is $0 to $20,000 a year. That's not a big income, way below the average, of course, in this country. And even at that level, below $20,000 a year annual household income, we have only a third who are willing to say lower class. The rest either say working or middle. So Americans are loath at either end of the extreme, no matter what your income, to say you're upper or lower class.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.